Well, we as a church have been supporting the GMB, no, oh, I've got it wrong, Good News Broadcasting Association for many years now, both financially and in prayer. So it's wonderful that we can have Tom, the director, to come and tell us more about that work, tell us what he does. It was lots that was done this morning, wasn't there? But it's good that we can just take a bit more time to think about the work. So thank you, Tom.
Thanks. Indeed, well, it's good to be with you again. I've got a little quiz for you first. I bet you didn't know you were going to do a Sunday night quiz. So I'm going to get you to turn to the person next to you, or the person behind you, the person around you, and I want you to ask that person, what percentage of the UK population listen to radio every single week? What percentage of the UK population listen to radio every single week? I'm going to give you about 20, 30 seconds for that. We haven't got long. Okay, wow, that was some confident talking there, so I'm going to be interested. What I'm going to do, I'm going to count up in percentages of 10, if I can, and then when I go past the percentage that you agreed on in your group, raise your hand nice and clear so we can all see, okay? You get it? So, 10%, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100. Okay, very good. Not bad. I can tell you that it's averaged that 90% of the UK population listen to radio every week. Before you start congratulating yourself too much, next question. How many hours does the average person listen to radio? So 90% listen to radio every week. What's the average amount by hours? And I will count from one until you've all done, okay? I'll give you another 30 seconds for that. How many hours per week does the average person listen to radio? Per week. Okay, so how many hours does the average person listen to radio per week out of that 90%? So let's see, I'll count up in hours. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 on the balcony, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, I can keep going all day like this, 21, 22, 23, I've gone past the number now, so I can put you out of your misery. I can tell you that it is averaged at 21 hours over here, with 21.5 hours. Okay, your final question before I get to business. How many people listen to Christian radio in this country every week? There is a few more on that. How many people listen to Christian radio every week in this country? And I'll count up by 250,000. We're getting serious now. So I'll give you 20, 30 seconds for that. Okay, let's do this. So, how many people listen to Christian radio every week? And I'll count up in quarters of a million. So, a quarter of a million, a half, three quarters, 1 million. One and a quarter, one and a half, one and three quarters, 2 million. Two and a quarter, two and a half. This is getting difficult for me. I was never good at maths. Two and three quarters, 3 million. Three and a quarter. I don't know if anyone else is still going. I've gone over the number again, but I'll put you out of your misery. It's estimated. It's difficult to tell because UCB and Premier are the two biggest players, but there is Transworld Radio as well, also Branch FM, Hope FM, Flame FM, so local kind of FM stations. It's estimated 2.5 million people listen to Christian radio. And if you were with me this morning, you remember that statistic that I said that 30%, it's estimated, of people who listen to Christian radio aren't Christians or not going to church. So there are many people that are eavesdropping on the conversation. Why do I do that little quiz? Just to show you that radio is an important medium even today. I think people thought back in the kind of 70s when TV was starting to become this big thing, that everyone said, that's it, radio's done. No one's going to listen to radio anymore. But more people are listening to radio now than ever before. Obviously, there's more people in the world. But the way people talked about radio, it was like it was done with. And then the internet and the rise of internet and YouTube and podcasts, everyone went, that's it, it's definitely done now. And more people are still listening to radio than ever before. It's a powerful medium, and it has the power to reach places that sometimes even missionaries struggle to go to. There's a great story of Transworld Radio I used to work for. They use music in different areas of the world that sounds very similar to the type radio stations in those countries. So in India, they have music that sounds very appropriate to the Indian audience. So there's a great story of this local kind of community. And each day, the imam, the local imam, which was an old man, every day he'd get up and he would tune in the kind of, you know, the tannoy system that would go out kind of over the whole call to prayer. He would tune into this call to prayer. That sounds about right. Then he'd go back to sleep. He was an old man. He was very lazy. And he did this. And he tuned in one day. Sounded right. Yep, that's good. He goes back to sleep. Does the same. Wakes up the next day. Tunes it in. 2 weeks later, after doing this, the village come out, this little Indian village, come out to this imam en masse. And they say, we want to be baptized. And the imam said, what's baptized? They said, it's about this man, Jesus, who died for our sins. And they lead the imam to Christ. They all get baptized. Because basically he tuned into Transworld Radio India instead of a call to prayer in that local area. Power of radio. Now, there had been some missionaries that had been desperately trying to get into that village for a number of years, but they'd been threatened on their life. Something of what radio was able to reach in beyond those barriers. Now, could they lead a church? No. But they let the missionaries then come into the area, and then they planted a church, and it went from there. As I said this morning, radio can't do it all, but what radio can do, it seems to do quite well. And this is what Good News Broadcasting is all about. We broadcast in Africa, in Indonesia, in the Philippines, and also across the UK. And our aim is simply to teach the Bible through radio, because we believe that people need to hear the good news of the gospel. And there are lots of amazing churches like yours that are growing, that are preaching the gospel. But there's also lots of places where people aren't going to church, lots of areas that need more of a gospel witness. So we're just trying to be faithful with what we have. And these are some verses that mean a lot to us at Good News Broadcasting. I'm sure that they will be familiar to you. These are from Romans 10. It says this, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and you're saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame, for there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's good news. How then will they call on the one they've not believed in? And how will they believe in the one they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. That's what we're about. If you look at your feet right now and you think about where your feet are going to take you this week, I hope that they will go with you to your community, to your families, to your neighbours, those who don't know Jesus, and they will take with you good news. And good news is what we're all about. We're trying as possible to have beautiful feet. And we try and take that message and far as wide as the Lord will allow us. How can we go from not sent? God has blessed us with lots of different mediums to do that. The best is obviously the local church. But while we can use radio, while we can, we will do that. So let me go through some slides. Now, this slideshow takes an hour. Calm. It's all right. I'm going to do this in about 5 minutes. So if you just breeze through, obviously you're a long-standing church, so you'll know some of the history. Back to the Bible was how it began in America, and it became very popular in America as this radio station. So we planted in the UK, kind of out of that. So it was called Back to the Bible UK. And it launched in 1954 in the UK. In 1976, it became an autonomous ministry called Good News Broadcasting Association. That was to do with new charity laws coming in. And my understanding is that David Oram's son comes to this church. Is that right? You're not here tonight, are you, Sam? Sam? No. So David Oram was one of our longest standing directors, an incredible man. I was privileged to interview him last year before he passed away. And he was the director when it went from Back to the Bible UK to Good News Broadcasting Association. In 1988, we moved to Bawtry, a place called Bawtry Hall. It was kind of hub of lots of different ministries that were based out of there. Then in 2006, we moved to Ranskill. We were given a legacy, left a legacy, and we bought a house that was then converted into our studio. So if you'd move on. So that's it. It's not that big on the map, as you can imagine, but we are kind of between Doncaster and Worksop, and that's our place. Next, please. So this is a house, clearly a house, and this is where we're based next. And so this is our studio upstairs. That's where I record our programs, and that is the panel discussion room as well. Next. So this is our vision, to help Christians grow in their knowledge and faith through good Bible teaching. We know the majority of people who are tuning in are Christians, and we want to encourage them, equip them, knowing that Hebrews 3 says, encourage one another daily. So church is great, community groups are great, but actually sometimes we want to be fed in the word, daily devotionals, things like that. We are trying to plug that gap a little bit and encourage each other daily in the word. So we encourage non-Christian listeners to consider the gospel and to increase our airtime in the UK and beyond. There's lots of areas that still need more, and one of the things we're thinking about in the future is translating into different languages, which would be a lot of work, but would be incredible. We could go much further in Africa if we did that. So these are our main programs. Bible Focus is a 10-minute daily or weekday program. Up until very recently, I was doing that. I just went through the entirety of Luke's gospel line by line. And the idea is really to keep it very kind of applicable. The idea that busy people, busy lives, just take 10 minutes just to look at a few verses and how do they apply to your life. And recently we took on a part-time Bible teacher, a guy called Stuart Reynolds, who's a lovely guy. And so he's now taking over Bible Focus. Word Alive is kind of 30 minutes long, and this has featured various preachers like Tim Chester, Hugh Chalmers, Alec Mateer, until he passed away, and I do some of the lion's share on that as well. Again, just expositional Bible teaching, encouraging people in the Word of God. Minute messages, guess how long they are? They are a minute. It's actually quite hard to say much in a minute, I find. Obviously, I love talking, and so those are quite hard, but stations more and more are interested in shorter features. They would consider 10 minutes long play. And so a lot of them are now saying we want to play more music, we want to do more discussion, and we want shorter features from you. So that's something that we're developing. Finding the Plot is actually an old program that used to be produced by one of our staff called Mark, who left about a year ago. But it's quite a popular program, so some stations are still using it today. Basically, it would involve an interview with a worship leader or an author or a teacher. It would have a couple of songs and a couple of short devotionals as well. And then Home Thoughts from Abroad is a new devotional. One of our board members runs an Elim church in Leeds, and he writes a daily devotional for his church. So we steal them, I record them, and then put those out to different stations as well. So where can you listen if you are interested to hear what we do? And you might have to click the button a few times here. You'll probably have heard of Premier, Christian Radio, maybe Transworld Radio as well, which is based in Altrincham. Used to be on digital radio, but is now online and on Sky. And then you have Branch FM, which is in Yorkshire. You have Hope FM, which I wonder if you'd be able to tune in. Can anyone tune into Hope FM around here? It's in the kind of Pool and Dorset area. I'd be interested to know if you could hear it up here. And then Flame FM there, the middle one, is on the Wirral kind of Liverpool area. Gospel for Grantham is an online station in Scotland. And so those are the various places that we broadcast in this country. Next slide, please. But you can obviously listen online. We really newly renovated our website, spent a whole load of money on that, making it look much better. So you can go to our website, gmba.net, You can listen on FM stations, and the best way to know how to do that would be to get this. This is our newsletter, and each one always comes with a radio guide where we're broadcasting and how you can listen. And then Sky with Transworld Radio and Freesat and Freeview as well. So, next slide. So this is our staff. Up until very recently, actually, Kate left just a few weeks ago, and so we're looking to take on a new member of staff. At the moment, the full-time staff then is myself, and Mel, who's a graphic designer, but she does so much more than that. She's also admin, is our web master as well. And also Stuart Reynolds, who is a part-time Bible teacher, and a couple of volunteers come in as well. Next, we have a staff member in Africa called Joseph Kebby. He's based in Ghana, but he travels all around the country. Well, it's a massive region, isn't it? He travels all around, goes to different radio stations, offers them training, because many people have set up radio stations but haven't got the tools or aren't equipped to be able to do it. So he offers them training, and then he offers our programs on the back of that. So that's basically it. If you'd like more information, have a word with me afterwards. As I say, sign up to get our newsletter. This is a little CD that we're giving away that is just some examples of our programs. If you'd like one of those, I'll put them somewhere at the back or the front. Please do take one. And I just want to say a massive thank you to you as a church. I know it's difficult for churches in terms of choosing where and who to support. There are loads, aren't there? Amazing ministries doing incredible stuff with the persecuted church, with marginalized Christians, with young people, you know, at risk. But we do believe that the word of God needs to get out there. And we are the only ministry in the UK that produces UK programs for the UK and beyond. There's a few that produce programs and then send them straight to Africa. But we are the only ones that do studio-based radio programs here in this country. And we believe that there's still a need for it. So thank you so much for supporting us, and thank you so much for your prayers. I'll look forward to sharing the word with you in a few minutes, but I'll leave it there. Thanks. I think we're gonna hear the scripture read, are we, Lisa? Thanks.
It's just great to hear what's going on. We often pray for good news broadcasting, and we know that the money goes there, so we really appreciate you coming down and spending time and explaining it to us today. And we're going to read the second half of 1 Peter chapter 1, so if people can turn to it, that'd be great. 1 Peter chapter 1 and starting at verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. In a moment, Tom's going to come up, but we're just going to pray before. Dear Lord God, we do thank you that we've been able to come out this evening. We thank you that we have this privilege of coming and worshipping together. We thank you for the privilege of reading your word, of having your word so freely available to us in this country. And Lord, we really pray that this will continue. Lord, we pray as a church we will have a real passion for your word, for everything that you want us to know, that we will do it not out of duty, but because we love you. Lord, we pray, as we've read in this passage, that we'll love one another as well. We pray that we'll love the community that you've placed us in, and that in every opportunity you give us, you will help us to share the good news of the gospel with those around us. Lord, we pray as a church you'll build us up, help us to love and encourage one another, and help us to always do things in a way that is pleasing to you. Lord, we thank you for what we heard this morning from Miriam. We pray that it will be with her as she adjusts to life back in this country. We thank you for the work that she's been involved there in Japan, and we pray that it will give her a real blessing in what she's doing at the moment. Lord, for our church here, we pray that you'll continue to bless us. We thank you for all the wonderful things that you've done in recent years, and we pray that you'll help us to be the part of that in the future. We pray for this week's activities. We pray for Easter Unscrambled. We pray for each of those children that will come in. We pray for each of the helpers that are going to help. But above all, Lord, we pray that each person who comes in this week will have a greater understanding of your love for them, what the true meaning of Easter is, the fact that you died, the fact that you rose again, and that we can trust in you and be with you forever. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we pray for those in the church who are going through difficult times. We've thought about that this morning a little bit. We pray for those who've lost loved ones recently. We pray that you'll be close to them. We pray that you'll help them in the time of difficulty, and pray that you will be glorified in everything that they're going through at the moment. And similarly, Lord, we pray for those who are unwell at the moment, those who are going through long-term treatments or long-term illnesses or difficulties with their health. We pray that you will just grant speedy recovery to those people, and that you will be whatever they need at this time. Lord, we thank you for the camps that are going to go ahead, God willing, in a couple of weeks' time. In 2 weeks' time, we'll all be there at camp, probably fairly tired, but we pray that you'll just be with us. We pray that the young people that come along will just be really blessed. We pray that your word will clearly go out to them. We pray that our lives will be an example to them, and we pray that you'll help us to be able to share your good news with them. We pray for those that are Christians already, that they'll grow in you, and we pray for those who aren't, that they'll realise their need of a saviour, and that they will turn to you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the opportunities and privileges you give us here in the church. We pray for our elders. Lord, we thank you for them. We pray that you'll strengthen and encourage them. We pray that you'll help us all to follow in the way that they lead. And Lord, we pray that you'll give them real wisdom and strength in everything that they do. Lord, we pray for the building that we've got out the back, and we thank you for the progress that we've been able to make there. And Lord, we pray that you'll help us to be able to continue with that and see real progress and soon be able to be using that building. And Lord, as we come to your word now, we pray that you will just be with us. Help us to learn from your word this evening. We pray that you'll be with Tom as he speaks. We pray that you'll be with Tom in his role with Good News. And we pray that you'll just really help and encourage him in the work that he does there. We pray that you'll enable the radio stations to keep being able to broadcast the Christian message, Lord. We pray this above everything else. It's a wonderful way of reaching out. And Lord, we pray that that opportunity will continue. We pray you'll bless Tom now. We thank you for bringing him down to us, and pray that we'll all learn from your word together. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Peter. Do keep your Bibles open at 1 Peter chapter 1. Let me just say again a big thank you for my welcome. Thanks very much to Jenny and for Tony for having me stay over last night. Thank you so much for your hospitality. It's great to chat and to eat lots and lots of food. To Matt and to Claire, thanks for having me over this afternoon. And thanks for the warm welcome. And I have a really great time, and I'll head back. I'm actually going to go straight to work from here, because it's actually the same distance from to get back to Manchester as it is to get to Doncaster. So I'll travel over and stay over at work and get straight back to the gospel work. So thank you so much for having me. So we learnt this morning about the hope that we have. And it was all about the work that God has done for us through Jesus Christ, wasn't it? It was all about for us. And as you often see Paul, but also here in Peter, we go to a therefore. We get a therefore, which is a switch up. It's a turn to say, yes, you've been saved. God has blessed you with a home and secure. Your inheritance is secure, and you're secure. And then it says, therefore. And it calls us to holiness, which is not the most popular topic. It's not the most topic for me. It's crazy to think about it, because we serve under a holy God. And I want you just to think about that for a second. Think about how holy our God is. Like, think about how God shows his holiness in Scripture. Think about Isaiah saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." What about Job? Job spends 40 chapters going, "God, I've got a complaint against you. You're not treating me in the right way." And then God appears and he goes, "Whoa, I'm a man of unclean lips. Holy, holy, holy." What about Moses? Remember, God is going to destroy the Israelites because of their unfaithfulness. And Moses pleads for them. He says, "God, don't wipe them out, didn't you?" To them. And God goes, "Okay." And then Moses says, "Now show me your glory." An incredible thing to ask. And God says, "You don't really know what you're asking. I'm going to pass by you, and I'm going to put my hand across your face, and my goodness is going to pass in front of you. You'll see my back." And you know what happens. Moses sees the back of God, not even the front of God. He can't see God face to face. And what happens to his face? Shines on, even to the point where the Israelites had to veil Moses' face because it was shone so bright. The glory, the splendor, the holiness of God. This is the God we serve, who is high and above, who is Lord of all, who is the creator of the heavens and the earth. This is our God who we serve, who is holy, holy, holy. And it's hard, I think, for us to get our heads around it. And I thought about this the other year when I went to a bonfire night in the celebrations. And I got in there and paid to get in there with my family. And they had pallets that were stacked up really, really high. But the boundary was set really far back. And so I kind of walked up and I was like, "Oh, this, like, I'm a guy, I like fire." And so I'm kind of thinking, why can't I get closer to this? And so they light the pallets and then the heat just starts to kind of come off. And I just felt the heat on my face and thought, okay, this is why there's the barrier there. But about 10 minutes later, if you know how fire works, it really took. Like, you know what I mean? There's fire and then there's fire. And like these pallets just really started to give off the heat. And I kid you not, I watched and all round the barrier, one by one, everyone just did this. Because the heat was so intense that you couldn't actually stand it on your face. You had to bear it on your back. That is a fraction of the holiness, the power, the glory of God. God is awesome and perfect. And this idea that we would be able to even stand in the presence of God, it doesn't happen. And so this is what's so crazy about this statement. Because God says, "I'm holy, now you be holy." And we're like, what? How do we do that? How, when we think about a glorious, awesome, majestic God, how in any way can I, as a fallen, sinful man, how can I be holy? Well, I would put it to you that you can't be holy on your own. You need the work of God in your life. You need the Holy Spirit within you. But if you're called to be holy, for God is holy, you need to be like God. And if you're going to be like God, the best way is to be like Jesus. It says in Hebrews 1 that Jesus is the exact representation of God. If you want to think about or look at this God who is awesome and holy, look to Jesus. And I think that helps us then when we think about holiness. Think about how Jesus was. Because Jesus didn't walk around with his kind of blazing glory. Obviously, he took his disciples up on the hillside, didn't he? And he was transfigured before them. He showed a glimpse of his glory to who? Well, one of them was Peter, wasn't it? Our man who, here inspired by the Holy Spirit, is writing these words to us. So therefore, with minds fully alert and fully sober, we are to be holy because God is holy. It's fascinating to me that holiness, this attribute, is assigned to God more than anything else in Scripture. We know God is love, he is compassion, he is a God of wrath, he is a God of judgment. But more than all those, it says, God is described as holy more than anything else in Scripture. And we are called to be holy like him. So, our structure, we looked at the first half of 1 Peter this morning, 1 Peter chapter, and we're going to finish the chapter. This second half has an interesting structure, if you have it in front of you. It kind of breaks it down into a call to holy living and then a gospel reminder. I'm just going to pull this down slightly, I don't want to scare you off. I did that and then it didn't work, did it? Let's see, how was that? I thought I was coming through too loud. I work in radio, you see. I'm worried about how the sound kind of comes across. Here we go. All right. So the structure is a call to holy living and then a gospel reminder. So verses 13 to 17 is a call to holy living. And then verses 18 to 21 is a gospel reminder. Then verses 22 is a call to holy living. And then verses 23 to 25 are a gospel reminder. And then into chapter 2, because there's a few verses, you see, obviously the chapter headings were added later, they're not kind of inspired, and it seems that the flow kind of follows through there into chapter 2, where there's a call to holy living in chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, and then a gospel reminder in verse 3. And if we have time, we'll look at that as well. So, here's the question, why is Peter breaking it up like that? Why does he say, be holy, for God is holy, then remember the gospel? Then remember to be holy and live a holy life, then remember that you've been saved by Jesus Christ. Then remember to live a holy life, then remember that it is all the work of God in your life. Why does he do that? Because so easily we tend towards legalism, don't we? So easily we tend towards relying in our own strength. When we look at the first half of 1 Peter chapter 1, we know that we've been saved, we've been redeemed, it is the work of God in our lives. And then he says, be holy, and we just think, right, now I've got to pull my socks up. Now I've got to do the right thing. Now I've got to say the right things. I've got to pursue holiness. And we do, but when we start to do that, we so easily lean on our own strength and think that somehow our works, what we do, is going to make us right before God. And so Peter calls us to holy living and then a gospel reminder. Keeps putting it in there like a little sandwich to say, remember that the gospel is what has saved you. You're not saved by your works. But this holy living is a calling on us, an outworking, an overflow of the grace that you have received. So, therefore then, verse 13, therefore, with minds alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. So it's changed in the first half from what we would call indicatives, what God has done, then it changes here to imperatives. It says that we are to be alert and fully sober. Alert means ready and fully awake because we are in a battle. We are in a battle. It says in chapter 2, verse 11, that there is a war going on internally. There's a war of the sinful nature within us. Our nature is leading us to do things we shouldn't do, to say things we shouldn't say, to see things we shouldn't see. We need to be alert to these. But not only have we got an internal war, but actually we've got an external war as well. It says in chapter 5, verse 8, that there is an adversary, the devil, who's roaming around like a roaring lion. That doesn't sound very good. So we have an internal war with our nature that we still battle, the sin that's within us. And then we have an external war. The devil is at work to lead us into sin, to tempt us. So we have to be alert. We have to be sober-minded. That doesn't just mean not drinking that third glass of wine or whatever it is, but actually truly awake and alert, expecting that Jesus could return at any moment. You look through the Gospels and Jesus says time and time again, he tells parables about what if a king goes away and he comes back and finds you asleep? Or what if a master goes away and he comes back and finds his servants sleeping? Be alert. Are we ready for the return of Jesus Christ? Are we living in light of the reality that Jesus could come at any time? Let's be alert and be aware of the war that is internal and is external. Because the next verse says that we're children. Now just imagine a battle, imagine a fight between a lion and a child. That's not going to go very well. The devil is a powerful, powerful force, but our God is stronger. Our God is greater, and we have the Lord, the holy God of all, on our side. So we need to be alert, but we need to be aware that we are protected and we are secure, like we saw this morning. So we are to be alert. And then look at verse 14. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. So that term there, as obedient children, it could be translated children of obedience. We are to be defined by how we are obedient. This is the call in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20 says, in regards to evil, be infants. We need to be childish, in a sense, in our sin. That we're called to have childlike faith. We're also called to have childlike lives. not sinning in grown-up ways, but being more childlike. Not to say that children can't sin. I've got three daughters. I know that they can sin. But we are called to not be grown up. We are to be, in regards to evil, we are to be infants. And this verse should remind us of Romans 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed, but be transformed with the renewing of your mind. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires that you had when you lived in ignorance. There was a time when we were ignorant, when we didn't know the truth. And now we know the truth, we need to live up to it. But just as he who has called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. That's a complete life. In all you do, for it's written, be holy, for I am holy. Verse 17, since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. We are to be defined by reverence and awe for God, and we show that through the way that we live. And it says that God will be our judge. We know he is our father, and he will judge fairly, but we are going to be judged. Sometimes we forget this, that we think about the end judgment, and we think of the sheep and the goats. We think of those who are going to go to hell, and those who are going to go to heaven. And we know we're saved, we're secure, we're redeemed. But there is a second judgment of rewards. It says that you will be judged on what you've done and how faithful you've been. What do rewards in heaven look like? I have no idea. That's above my pay grade. But surely that's what we want. Surely we want to be pleasing our Father in our lives. Surely we want the smile of God upon us, only possible by the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. The Father who judges impartially. And we to live out our time as foreigners. Now, in some of the old translations in chapter 2, when it talks about being foreigners and exiles, the word used to be aliens. Be aliens. The idea is that we are meant to stand out in our society. We're not really meant to fit in. We're meant to be the sore thumbs in our society because we don't live the way the world lives. I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like I'm living deep undercover as a Christian. That I'm kind of just going about living my life as everyone else seems to do, but we're called to stand out. We're called to be foreigners here. Are we expecting, are we waiting for the return of Jesus Christ? I mean, sometimes I'm more excited about going out for a meal with my wife or a holiday coming up later that year than the return of Jesus Christ. There's something wrong in that equation. Our hope is not a hope that we can see or hear on earth. Our hope is secure. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. And we are to be foreigners. We're to be exiles here. Verse 19. But the precious blood, I'll read from verse 18. But for you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver and gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ. So we see a return here. If you were listening this morning, you remember we talked about gold and how it said that gold will perish. And we were looking at how eternity is so long that even gold will perish before eternity. And so Peter returns to this idea again and says, we're talking about gold and silver. And you think, why is Peter still going on about this? I think what Peter is saying here is that silver and gold, talking about our old lives, if we're honest, sometimes the way we used to live before we were Christians can still be appealing today. You know, when I look at where my life was at before I became a Christian, I was deeply in depression. My life was falling apart, involved in drugs and alcohol. But in my weaker moments, even today, knowing that my life is so much better than it was, sometimes there's a moment where my old life looks like silver and gold, if I'm honest. There are points when I smell someone walking past smoking a spliff and I think, I remember what that felt like. Seeing people drinking on the street down where near I live, sometimes I'm tempted. Our old lives can look like silver and gold, but they will perish. They are perishable. They lead ultimately to death. Our life is found in the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and it is in him we have our life. The perfect life, the perfect death, and the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We should never tire of that. The preachers in this church should never tire of telling you the gospel, that Jesus Christ came and lived the perfect life and died a sacrificial death on the cross, dying for the sins of the many, the chosen, the world, the church. Isn't that incredible? This is where our hope should lie. Verse 22. Now that you have been purified, you've purified yourself by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other. Love one another deeply from the heart. What Peter is saying here is that if you want to be holy, you've got to love each other. And that's not always easy. He says over, I think it's in chapter 4, he says that you're to love each other and love, yes, verse 8, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. There is sin is going to happen, isn't it? Sin amongst each other, even in church. But love is the only thing that can cover it. If you want to be a holy church, a holy people, holy individuals, you've got to be defined by love. This is what we need to be defined by. It's so easy to have our lives wrapped up in what we're doing each day and not looking to other people in our church. We need to love people genuinely, holy living. And it says in verse 23, for you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. If you want to be holy, we need to be people in the word. We need to be people that are dedicated to the word. If you want to be holy, you need to be like God. And if you want to be like God, you need to be like Jesus. And the way that we can be like Jesus is looking to the word. Do you treasure this book, this library? Is this something that you cling to, that you read regularly? I hope that you see it as something that is precious. So easy to take it for granted because we have so many translations and so many Bibles hanging around, but it is precious. I remember the first Bible that I received was a youth Bible, and I got it when I was 7 years old, and I wasn't impressed at seven, I'll be honest. And then when I was 15 years old, I got another youth Bible from my brothers and sister. And I was wondering why they had bought me the same thing again. Why have you bought me another youth Bible? And at that point in my life was in chaos. I was not living the way I should have been. I was smoking, drinking, all those things. And I looked at this Bible as something that was completely worthless. And when I was given a Bible, the same time as this, my brother, my elder brother, was given a new bike. And my sister was given a new tennis racket. I'm thinking, this doesn't seem like a fair kind of present sharing opportunity. I get a Bible, my brother gets a bike. What's with that? But now when I look back on it and I look at how precious this word is, I think I got the better deal. This is a precious word. All the flowers will fall and fade. The things of this world will fall away. The bike's nowhere to be seen now. The tennis racket has long been discarded, but the word of God lives and stands forever. This is what we are to be reliant on, dedicating our lives to delve into it and learn more about it. So, chapter 2, we'll read these last few verses. So he's gone through a call to holiness, then a gospel reminder, a call to holiness, then a gospel reminder, a call to holiness, then a gospel reminder, and then we get a final call to holiness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of any kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that you may grow up in your salvation. Now, we can only do this then when we read in light of what Peter has already said. That when we think about a holy God who is holy and perfect, when we think about Jesus who's sacrificed his life for us, when we think about all this found in Scripture, then and only then are we able to lay aside some of the sins that so easily entangle us. We can't of our own strength rid ourselves of malice or deceit or hypocrisy or envy or slander, but we can when we look to holy God and we follow the example of Jesus Christ in the word. That's the only way that it's possible. And then finally, verse 3, now that you've tasted and seen that the Lord is
good.
I want to ask you tonight, have you tasted and seen that the Lord is good? Have you genuinely tasted and seen that the Lord is good? Holiness will only be possible if you know that God is good. Living a life worthy of the call upon you is only possible if you believe that the Lord is good. Have you tasted and seen that the Lord is good? This is beautiful call, a reminder that we cannot be holy in and of ourselves, but it is a call on our lives. Have we seen that the Lord is good? Let me pray for us.